You may have heard of Title 10 in the news lately. That's because the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, the federal court that has jurisdiction over most of the West Coast, recently ruled on the legality of the Title 10 Family Planning Program. Two dozen states, including Colorado, had sued the federal government over changes the Trump administration made to the program in 2019. In that ruling by the Ninth Circuit, the court upheld the changes the administration made. KUNC Stephanie Daniel is here now to discuss what a new study can tell us about the impact of all of this on Colorado. Hey, Stephanie.
Hi, Erin.
So before we talk about the study, remind us what Title 10 is.
Sure. Title 10 is a federal program that was created in 1970. It provides family planning services and affordable reproductive health care, including birth control, STD testing, and cancer screenings to 4 million uninsured and low-income people every year. Title 10 provided these services to nearly 4,000 clinics throughout the country last year. And I want to add, Title 10 has never funded abortions.
Okay. So what changes did the Trump administration make in 2019?
There are several. Providers can't refer pregnant women to abortion services, even if the patient asks. On the other hand, providers must refer pregnant women to prenatal care regardless of the patient's wishes. Clinics are also no longer required to provide pregnancy counseling options, which includes infant care, foster care, or adoption. And Title 10 now funds non-traditional organizations that may offer only one method of family planning, like fertility awareness instead of contraception.
Huh, okay. Now, the state of Colorado denounced the Title 10 changes after they were announced, then joined a national lawsuit against the Trump administration. Why did Colorado and these other states take action?
The Colorado Attorney General's office released a statement last March which said the lawsuit was challenging the constitutionality of the new Title 10 gag rule, which would significantly restrict access to reproductive health services and information for women and families. The lawsuit alleged that the implementation of the new rule would erode the quality of reproductive health care and interfere with the provider-patient relationship by limiting what the provider can say to a patient.
Meaning clinics that receive Title 10 funds can no longer tell women about all options, including abortion services.
Exactly.
All right. So how much money does the state get from Title 10 funding?
The Colorado Department of Public Health and Environment receives about $3.8 million from the Title 10 program every year. This money, combined with more than $4 million from the state, funds the Colorado Family Planning Program. According to the department, the statewide program has helped cut teen birth and abortion rates in half over the last 10 years. This reduction in the number of births has saved the state close to $70 million in potential costs for state and federal programs that assist women and their infants. As of last June, Colorado had 74 Title 10 clinics, which includes nonprofit, county, and community health centers. By the end of the year, two had opted out of the federal program. This is a trend that's going on across the country. According to data, about a quarter of Title X clinics nationwide have withdrawn from funding.
Huh. And to be clear, they're opting out because they don't want their providers being restricted in what kind of medical advice they can give to their patients.
That's right.
Okay. Stephanie, you spoke with a Colorado-based researcher who has studied the effect of Title 10 changes in Texas. Can you tell us about what she found and why she looked at Texas?
Yeah, I talked to Kate Coleman-Minahan. She's an assistant professor at the University of Colorado College of Nursing, and she co-authored a study looking at family planning organizations in Texas. In 2011, the Texas legislature reduced its family planning budget by two-thirds and redistributed Title 10 funding.
Okay, two-thirds. That's significant. Mm-hmm. And so she looked at the impact of these cuts.
That's right. The study looked at data from 47 family planning organizations from 2012 to 2015. During this time period, 79% lost their Title 10 funding. Now, Texas requires parental consent for teens under 18 to access birth control unless they have Medicaid or receive care at Title 10 clinics. So when those healthcare organizations were defunded, it impacted teens. Here's what Coleman-Minahan had to say about the study results.
We found that a lot of Title 10 funding constricted organizations' ability to provide low-cost, confidential care to teens, and as a result, they saw a decrease in the number of teen clients served. So essentially, teens lost access.
And I'm curious, did this study find a link between reduced access and teen birth rates?
You know, that's interesting, Erin. And I posed this question to Coleman Minahan via email. They did not have the data to test for a link between access to care and teen birth rates. But her study did cite another 2017 study, which found family planning cuts correlated with a small increase in teen birth rates. Coleman Minahan acknowledged the importance of this question, but said access to reproductive health care is also key. This access is crucial to teens' autonomy. Pregnant teens are often blamed and stigmatized for giving birth, and this pulls attention away from the structural factors that increase the risk of teen pregnancy, which includes lack of access to contraception and sex education, as well as political, economic, and social oppression of marginalized communities.
Right. So let's look at how these findings relate to reproductive health care here. One big difference is that, unlike Texas, Colorado does not require parental consent for people under 18 to access birth control.
Correct. I do want to note the study did not look at all publicly funded providers in Texas, but Coleman Minahan said the results serve as kind of a warning about what could happen to other states that receive Title X funding, including Colorado. This is especially true when it comes to providing affordable and confidential health care to young people.
Did Coleman Minahan give you any specific examples of how the changes could impact care here in Colorado?
Yes. She's also a nurse practitioner and said the 2019 Title X changes are vague and confusing, and that's an issue.
So an example is that a local school nurse contacted our clinic asking if she could still refer young people for pregnancy options counseling. And although Title X now prohibits us from providing abortion referrals, we can still provide pregnancy options counseling. And so this demonstrates not only confusion among staff about the new rules, but confusion in the community.
Coleman Minahan said young people who want reproductive health care are actively seeking to avoid pregnancy and take control of their bodies, lives, and futures.
They have to navigate school, jobs and responsibilities at home, find transportation, and then make it to a clinic. So they shouldn't have to then experience unaffordable, unequitable, or inconsistent access to care due to the goals of policymakers.
So what does the court's ruling mean on the ground now for Colorado? Are we going to see big changes or perhaps another appeal?
I reached out to the Colorado Attorney General's office for an update and received a written statement. Here's what it said. Colorado will continue to fight the administration's gag rule in federal court so that women have access to critical health care services and doctors and health care providers can give accurate medical information to their patients without the federal government telling them what they cannot say.
Okay, so it sounds like they're leaving the door open for possibly more legal action in the future.
Definitely. I'll keep you posted.
All right. That's Stephanie Daniel with an update on Title X changes and the potential impact here in Colorado. Thanks so much, Stephanie.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.